shaken, wrestling fans. It is Monday, April 14th, and we just finished watching Monday Night Raw. It is time for us to gather together, as we always do after Monday Night Raw, for the Monday Night Tradition, the NPR Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. Tonight, we'll be talking about all that happened on Raw tonight. So basically, we're going to say some guys came out. They had some matches. Some guys talked on the mic. And that was Raw tonight. Thanks for listening, everybody. I kid. Actually, Raw did pick up at the end. We'll talk all about that. It was overall a fairly drab night, I do think, but we'll get into specifics. First off, I'll be your host for this evening. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio, introducing the rest of the fellas I got here. First off, the lead host of Addicted to Anime here on Mega Powers Radio, Mr. Steven Huego. What's shaking, dude?
I'm all good. And yeah, pretty much neutral feelings on Raw right up until that end.
And joining us from the Retro Unlimited Network, Mr. Miguel Leon.
Morning, boys.
Morning? It's not quite morning. I guess it depends on where you are. Are you from England? I guess it could be morning there.
You probably just fell asleep during Raw.
Probably. I think I slipped into a coma halfway through that episode.
Oh, my goodness. And lastly, with us, the leader of the Smark Out Moment website and the lead host of the Smack Talk podcast on that very website, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, Tony?
Hey, not too bad considering how bad Miguel is. Jeez, there's no coma on my side.
Oh, well, introduced to everybody that was here. Just want to let everyone listening know that this is the most interactive post-Raw experience that you can listen to. We will have a phone line opening up at about 11:30 where you, the listener, can call in and talk about your opinions about tonight's show. The phone number where you can call and get in line is area code 760-512-7247. You can also dial in using Skype by clicking on that little Skype icon on the top of the page. We also have the chat room rolling strong. If you don't see it, scroll down to the bottom. It's there. We already got Mr. Brian the Brain there, Mr. Steven Huego holding things down, representing the panel here. And I guess that's all the ways I got a plug to you guys to get involved. As I said, phone lines opening up at 11:30. Get yourselves in line now. For now, let's talk about what was, I would absolutely say, by far the biggest story that we had going on throughout this night. First off, we had this little tease that started last week, but we really got more of it going throughout this entire night, of Triple H suggesting to Batista and Randy Orton that, yeah, they all have personal glories that they want to achieve, but for the time being, maybe they all need to put that aside and work together to take care of a greater problem, that being the Shield. First off, Batista and Randy Orton were like, no, I want nothing to do with that. Yet they went and had a tag match. They were all concerned about getting their own world title, but yet they're going out for a tag match with the Usos. Didn't make too much sense there. They were unsuccessful in getting a victory because the Shield interfered, causing the disqualification. Afterwards, they were walking out. Triple H says, I told you so. This leads to later on when Triple H tells the Shield that they will be in a matchup that evening, not telling them who their opponents are. When they come out for that matchup, we find out that their opponents isn't just three people. They end up facing 11 people, including Swagger, Fandango, Jinder Mahal, Rybacksel, Rusev, Bad News Barrett. Yeah, who's of mid-card heels right now. This didn't have any kind of finish. This ended up with a schmoz. The 11 guys ended up just beating down the Shield until we heard the music of Evolution. Yes, the three of them are reunited under the what is my favorite Motorhead song that they have done for the WWE. Just when I was really enjoying having King of Kings back in the mix, now we got Evolution's theme back too. Fuck yeah, it's a great time to be enjoying WWE's music.
Just watch, fucking Downstate's gonna cover it now and we'll be stuck with some shitty cover.
Oh no, please don't curse it that way.
No, they can still afford the rights to that song. We're good.
Well, I throughout the night was curious where this was going, and I think, despite the fact that Raw overall was pretty slow going on through the night, a lot of times when they do that, they always deliver with some type of hard strike at the end, and I think that's what they did tonight. This final segment really was awesome, and it was great to see Evolution back together, and now I'm super stoked for Evolution versus The Shield. Let's go around and get your guys' opinion on what we got tonight for that. Mr. Steven Huego, why don't you start us off?
I've never been so excited yet incredibly worried at the same time. I'm really excited for the whole Evolution vs. Shield feud, but part of me worries that we're going to end up seeing all champions Evolution again in the future.
Like, you know,
tag team champions and Triple H holding the world.
That would be fantastic.
Just after we got Daniel Bryan, I just think some of that's making me think we're going to get shit on.
Miguel?
I don't think that's going to be the case. I would be honestly shocked if Triple H got the belt back on him. I mean, maybe he could be a tag champ, but that seems like a step down for the guy. And you know what? You knew it was going to be the case. You knew if as these guys were being brought together closer and closer that Evolution was going to pick up. And I mean, that's been one of the dream matches I've heard people talk about for years now as the Shield was being built is, you know, what would happen if the Shield took on Evolution in their prime? You know, what type of matchup would it be? And maybe they're not in their prime now, but we're finally getting that dream scenario to play out. It's a marquee matchup. It's a marquee feud. I think they could take this all the way to SummerSlam. In terms of tonight, I didn't like it because I don't like these overly drawn out Triple H style beatdowns at the end of Raw, which to me this felt like.
Kind of regular too, which is not a good thing.
Yeah, you know it's going to be like a good 5 or 6 minute just long quiet beatdown, and once in a while it's fine, but we've seen it so much as of late that I'm unfazed by it. Honestly,
did you guys watch in 2003?
actually, I wasn't. So.
I had SmackDown to keep me tied down.
Because if you're all new to this, get used to it.
Yeah, indeed. Mr. Tony Mango, what did you think about what went down tonight with the return of Evolution?
Tonight wasn't really the best way to kick it off, and it's kind of a disappointment that it wasn't better. But this is going to be a kick-ass feud, so we're going to forget about this eventually. I'll be fine with it down the line.
Well, then.
I'm optimistic, hey. Surprise, huh?
No, I'm optimistic, too. I see good things for this. I think it's going to sell... Yeah, I don't know if it's going to sell a bunch of pay-per-views, but I think it's going to be a great little shining light on what's probably going to be a next few months of lame duck pay-per-views.
Let me ask you, we don't use that word anymore.
Special events, yes.
At least they're not entertainments like they tried to foist on us a couple years back.
So we're going into Extreme Rules, which is, of course, a pay-per-view where every match has to have some type of extreme gimmick. What kind of gimmick will we add to this match?
I think just the fact that it's a six-man match is going to be their gimmick. I mean, I've seen them do that with, like, Fatal 4-Ways and Triple Threats. Like, oh, the Triple Threat is the extreme part, you know? It's not a regular singles match, so that makes it extreme.
This is going to be some bullshit rename of a street fight, Extreme Rules, Brawl kind of nonsense.
A business room brawl or something.
Yeah, it's going to be some kind of bullshit like that. And then they're going to try to market that as like, we've never, in the first ever fucking Evolution, whatever the goddamn.
You know what?
It's not going to be a barroom brawl. It's going to be a boardroom brawl.
Oh, you know what? Sold. I would love to fight all over Titan Towers.
Kind of like the attitude. Like, remember how they used to have the attitude get it vignette at the.
Get it.
Yeah, it's just an old school Attitude Era matchup where they're just like beating each other with furniture and just going from like the bathroom to the boardroom. They're fighting in the cafeteria. I'm in. I could dig that.
We got Brian the Brain in the chat room saying, "Do it tornado style." Which, yeah, if you're gonna go at the very least, I would say do tornado style, not just 3-on-3, but at least let all six guys get in there and beat each other up at the same time.
I'd be okay then with doing a TLC, and you don't need to have something hanging above. You can just have them use the weapons like they did at the TLC pay per view when they did the Shield versus was it Ryback, Kane, and Daniel Bryan?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that match was awesome. Do it again, just with the other.
So you're saying they're going to drive this out all the way to December?
No, I mean,
no,
do a TLC. It's Extreme Rules.
No, but they don't do TLC matches on anything but TLC. Then that defeats the purpose of the pay-per-view.
Oh, no,
they did Hell in a Cell at Mania when they have a Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. It doesn't matter.
It's Mania, though. Like, it's okay to do it at Mania, but, you know, you can't just break out a TLC matchup at Extreme Rules.
Yeah, you can. There's going to be months down the line. No one's got that good of a memory.
There's going to be a steel cage match there. I mean,
well, they don't have a steel cage pay-per-view.
Well, they should. They got a pay-per-view for everything else.
Didn't they try that with No Way Out?
That's true.
No. That was the Elimination Chamber, I believe.
Whatever.
There you go. Make it an Elimination Chamber match. You have six people.
I'd be okay with that.
That would be fucking awesome.
I'm joking, but... You know what I'd like to see if you want to talk about things that are totally crazy? Hmm. Do false count anywhere and have three referees follow people around. It'd be a fucking train wreck, but I don't think I've ever seen one of them before. So
I would do that, and you have to have that crooked referee involved.
Scott Armstrong?
Mm-hmm.
That has shades of like the old World War III pay-per-view where you got three different angles from three different rings.
What the hell, something different?
Yeah, why not? You know, you don't have to have action. You know, WWE would be smart and not make the same mistake WCW would. They would have action going on only at one or at most two places at the same time. They would also have guys in the same places together, so you don't have that type of confusion going down. The problem with World War III is you just had chaos going on all three screens. You know, watching a battle royal alone on one screen is sometimes tough to follow. Mm. And then try to put it in those three little screens. Woof. Anyway, we're not going to talk about WCW shortcomings. We'll be here all goddamn day. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines a couple of minutes earlier. We got our good friend of the show on the line, Mr. JD from Pittsburgh. Let's get him in on here. JD, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, guys. How's it going tonight?
Absolutely tremendous, dude. How you doing? Welcome back to your hometown of Pittsburgh. How'd you enjoy all your time down at WrestleMania?
It was fun, guys. Let me tell you, it was an experience, and it still gives me chills just being there, however, just seeing the Warrior for the last time, however, the way I did on Monday night, however, just it gives you goosebumps and chills and a little heartbreak at the same time. But I think we'll all remember the Warrior in our own way, in a very special love way, too. But the way the show started out tonight, very classy move by WWE. I thought that was very, very appropriate. However, the tributes tonight, however, there weren't that many, which really kind of surprised me a little bit, but all in all, it was an interesting show tonight in Birmingham. Of course, once again, it just goes to show Batista and Orton love to kiss Triple H's ass whenever they can. And obviously, they're kissing his ass really nice because obviously they're back together again as Evolution. And talking about kissing ass, it seems like JBL's the biggest kiss ass of them all, just kissing the authority's ass any chance he can, however, no matter what it seems like. But all in all, I mean, it wasn't a bad show tonight. It wasn't as good as last week's, however, but like you said, however, obviously with Daniel Bryan not there this week because of the whole marriage scene to Brie Bella, which I think we should all say congratulations to him and well-deserved, mm-hmm. However, best of luck to them.
If you're going to miss if you're gonna miss Raw, that's a good excuse. I'm not blaming
exactly.
him at all.
No, hell no. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week. I mean, they're going to be in Baltimore next week, and then 2 weeks they're going to be in St. Louis in Randy's hometown. You know they're going to obviously have Randy cheered like crazy, and of course, who knows with Bautista. But it's just, I don't know. Something tells me they're set up for a War Games type thing, however, for Extreme Rules. I mean, obviously tonight we heard one match that is possibly listed, however, and that's John Cena versus Bray Wyatt, however. Of course, it looks like they're setting up maybe, and they might announce it next week or in a couple weeks, however, in St. Louis, the eight-person tag. I mean, then you have another thing with Kane, of course, once again getting abused by Stephanie, however, and putting Kane in his place, and Kane says, I'm back as the monster. Look at me. I'm back as the monster. I should be emerged as this. It's just, I mean, I just wish I've said for weeks on end, it's time for the authority to go. I mean, we should see Vince McMahon. I mean, I hate to say this back on television. We're tired of hearing the authority every week. Kane, do this. Shield, you guys did this, but now you've crossed us. Blah, blah, blah. Who gives a flying F, okay? We know Orton and Batista love to blow you, Triple H. You kiss your ass whenever you can, buddy. That's why you brought them back together tonight, because they were kissing your ass, and you were whining the whole time saying, oh, I should deserve a rematch. Well, I'm sorry. You've been kissing Triple H's ass long enough. I think it's time for a guy like Daniel Bryan to take the spotlight for a little while you continue to kiss Triple H's ass no matter what. But
Daniel Bryan has not overcome enough obstacles yet. He only was trying to overcome things for the last year. I mean, why let him gain that big success at WrestleMania?
How many times has he been after over because of people kissing, certain people kissing Triple H and Hunter's ass, and Stephanie's ass? I mean, come on. Daniel Bryan's been effed over how many times? He deserves this opportunity. He should be champion for a couple months, if not a little longer. Then you got this whole Heyman thing with Lesnar. I mean, you talk about a guy, and I said this last week, I think, when I called you guys down in New Orleans. I mean, this is a guy who's a part-timer. A part-timer, mind you. I mean, it should have been someone else to end the streak, not a guy like Nelson. What's Lesnar doing now? Oh, he's probably sitting home smiling like a butcher's dog, however, basically because he knows he ended the streak and he won't be back on television probably till June or July, and build up the hype for SummerSlam, because obviously it's in his contract, because it says so, that he is only allowed on certain dates and certain pay-per-views. I mean, come on. I mean, that's just absolutely a slap in the face. But I do like the Heyman-Cesaro thing. I think this is going places, and I do like this, but we just don't need to keep being reminded every time by Paulie, Brock beat the streak. Brock beat the streak. I think it's going to get old after all. I think if they want to do something right with Heyman, they've got something cooking here with him and Cesaro. And I think Cesaro is definitely could be a heavy contender to watch out in the next few months. I mean, right now he's in the IC tournament thing, obviously. I think this is his first step to basically hopefully moving up the ladder, if you ask me. I mean, his whole Real American thing, yeah, it was nice and okay for a while, and it got annoying after all, but I think if he wants to break out and go above the next rung on the ladder, this is the guy that could maybe teach him to get that next step, and that's Paulie.
All right, JD, let me ask you, you're saying that they should be concentrating people on the future. Fortunately, we didn't get someone like that being the Taker, but what we have seen since WrestleMania is a lot of these NXT people coming up. We finally got an in-ring debut of Alexander Rusev. We saw Paige win the Divas title in her first night. We're seeing promos air for both Bo Dallas and Adam Rose. What do you think about all these guys?
I saw some of these people down in New Orleans, and I'll tell you, I was really blown away with Paige. I think Paige has potential to get over as the next big diva. I really do. Bo Dallas right now, I think he'll start out okay. I think right now he needs to be on his own to start out in time. I think if he gets some big heat, however, he could get a manager like a Paul Heyman, take him under his wing as well. If not, someone else could take him under his wing. Rose, he's iffy. I heard he had a pretty good gimmick for a while as Leo Kruger, and now they got him doing this Russell Brand gimmick, apparently, with what they've got going with him right now. And it's going to be interesting to see where they go from here with him. Boat, and you said, Rusev, I just think it's a Rocky IV gimmick. I really do. I don't hold my hopes for this gimmick. I think this gimmick's going to just fall flat. I really do. I mean, every week we see, I mean, we've only seen Lana a couple weeks now. She's sort of like the Bridget Nielsen of Alexander Rusev's Drago. And what has he done already? He's beating up jobbers. Big whoop-de-doo. Yeah, I understand that's what you want to do early on. But until he gets into a big feud with, like, say, maybe a Big E Langston or possibly someone like a Sheamus, then prove me wrong. Right now, I'm not sold on him just yet.
Just yet. Let's give the guy a little bit of time, though.
You know, exactly.
There's something very old school about the guy that I am gravitated towards. I do think he's a little rough. I think it's a little too soon to have called him up. I think he could have used a little bit more development. Lana especially is very rough. I think she is kind of cool. I think she's different from the other divas that we have on there. But I think they just need a little more time to hone. I feel the same for some of the other people they're calling up too. Especially when they have so many people who I think are so ready, people like Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville, who are beyond ready to be called
up. I've mentioned those guys. I watched Neville and I watched Corey Graves, and I did not see Zayn. And I really heard, I've been hearing lots about him in the past year, but I saw Neville and Corey Graves and the Jason Jordans, and even what the heck is his name? Big Cass. Mm. Colin Cassidy. I watched some of those guys too when I was down at the NXT thing at the Fan Fest on Friday, last Friday. And I've heard a lot about Jordan. Adrian Neville blows me away more and more. I mean, even like I said, when he was in the feud with Bo Dallas, he was pretty good. I think Neville might be up sometime over the summer, if not by fall, if he keeps getting better. I can see that for Jason Jordan. But like I said, I'm just impressed. So, I mean, I've only seen Paige twice. Granted, last week, however, was a big, big upset over AJ. Tonight, she kind of looked a little lost at times, and Alicia had to carry her a little bit. But all in all, I mean, it wasn't a bad match. And I do think she will be one of the helpful divas. I think she's a future I mean, she's already one of the future divas, I think, without question, because the divas division does need help. I mean, obviously, you got this whole thing now with Summer Rae and, of course, Layla the Stripper being Fandango's manager, which she looked like a total scuzz bucket tonight. Well, slut, let's say Las Vegas show. Or a whore, but that's beside the point. But I think one of the divas that has a bright future ahead of her, without question, I think could be Paige, without question. I like her style, and I like the way she gets herself over the fans. I think tonight, like I said, she did have a tough time with Alicia, but all in all, I think she's going to get better and better. At least I hope she does.
Indeed. All right, JD, as we always like to wrap things up here, your high point and low point for tonight's show.
I think the high point was definitely the beginning tribute of the show, and then the closing. I mean, no one saw this coming. I do think we're setting up for either a six-person or eight-person tag. We'll find out in the next couple weeks. Obviously, they're going to be in Saudi Arabia this weekend, and of course, they get back to the States next Monday, however, in Baltimore, and of course, they got a couple more weeks to go for Extreme Rules. The low point, I would have to say, tonight, the other high point, I would say, was the opening match with RVD and El Thurdo Del Rio. Good opening. The worst match of the night, however, I would have to say, maybe now, was the Rusev Alex Xavier Woods. It could have been a warm-up match. This was less than a minute long, and this was just absolutely crap.
Indeed. All right, JD. Thanks for calling, as always. Always good to have a conversation with you about what you thought about this week's show, and hopefully we'll talk to you next week, as we always do. Have a good night.
Always, guys. I'll talk to you next Monday night. Have a good rest of the week.
And everyone else out there listening, you can do the same as JD did. Call into the show. Give your thoughts about what went down on tonight's Raw and, you know, whatever else is going on in the current state of affairs in WWE or wrestling. Area code 760-512-7247 is the phone number to get in line. You can also call in using Skype by pressing that little Skype icon on the top of the page. And the chat room is also open. Pretty quiet tonight. If you don't have the chat room client open, refresh the page and scroll on down there. Join in there and get people rolling in there. We always like having extra little tidbits to pull out of there to talk about on the show. Returning back to the panel's opinions here, we got the rest of the show to run down here, unless anyone else got any opinions they wanted to shoot out there about the Evolution situation. Okay, no one's talking, so we're going to go back to the beginning of the show. We started off with a 10-bell salute to the Ultimate Warrior. It was so fast, I actually didn't even get to see it because I was having some problems with my cable box. By the time I got it on, they were already cutting to commercial. So, I don't know, maybe you guys want to throw in some words about that. Tony?
You know, it was really odd. I was looking around the sea of superstars to see who was reacting differently. And the two people that I spotted that really seemed to look upset were Natalya and Cody Rhodes. Pretty much everybody else seemed, you know, obviously they weren't happy or anything of the sort. That would have been really fucked up. But they were all just pretty stone-faced. And Cody and Natalya were the only two that I saw that were crying. Did anybody else see anybody else that were crying?
Well, they weren't even crying. They're just kind of really squinting their eyes.
Well, I mean, we don't have HD that much where we're, like, zooming into the tears and going, ah, you cried six tears, Cody. And,
well,
like,
we do. We just can't afford them fancy 4K TVs.
We'll get one of the 8K ones eventually. But those were the two that seemed the most upset to me. I like it when they do these 10-bell salutes. I really don't like when the fans start cheering during them because that's really kind of awkward. And they go, can you please be silent for fucking 10 seconds? And then you have the one idiot who's like, woo, 10 bells. Ah!
Can't stand that. I totally want to fucking do that.
That specific chant. Woo, 10 bells. Ah!
But it's nice that they did this.
To go off the point you were saying before, though, with Natty and Cody, if I had to venture a guess, I would say it's because they grew up in that environment. They probably met him a lot when they were younger.
Yeah, that's a good point. The Usos might have, too. I don't know really necessarily if they would have had that much of a reaction. I don't even know what the word I'm saying. If they would have had that much of a – my God, I'm having a brain fart here. Yes.
However –
All right, Miguel, take over, please.
You know what? It was classy. I mean, they were all out there. You had all the big stars out there. They were giving their tribute. I started about maybe 2 minutes late into the program. I was taking a phone call. So I don't know if there was anything earlier than that, but I mean, for what it was nice. You knew it was going to be the case given how much promotion they did for the Ultimate Warrior tribute night that they were going to have tonight. So it was what it was. I do admit that was kind of jarring and a bit annoying. Immediately after the 10-bell salute, you have some guy in the crowd going, yeah! Like, I don't even know if he was trying to chant anything. It just sounded like noise. Not even like a cheer.
He was just trying to chant 10 bells.
Something. It was like, yeah! And then everybody, you know, obviously started to do the slow cheer. There's always that one guy, man.
Oh, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Wago, what'd you think about this?
It was nice. There's nothing more to say than that. It was a nice gesture, and rest in peace, Warrior.
We found out the results of the autopsy for Warrior today, and it was confirmed that it was, in fact, a heart attack, and they do not believe any foul play or drugs were involved, so that's certainly good to hear.
Suck a cock, Nancy Grace.
Yeah.
Now, I'm confused. I really haven't delved into that situation too much. I just kind of, like, am letting it pass, because I know in 3 weeks people aren't going to give a shit about it anymore, but... Did she just say it was steroids, or did she say there was something else involved in this, too?
She pretty much shit all over the wrestling business and was bringing up a whole bunch of ex-wrestlers that had died, and was like, yep, probably steroids. I know.
Well, I know she's saying steroids, but this doesn't necessarily prove that it wasn't steroids, because isn't one of the main things of prolonged steroid use heart problems?
Wasn't it heart disease that he died of?
Yeah.
It was heart disease.
It might have been after the fact. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if it was...
Eddie Guerrero was clean when he died from heart problems, too.
Yeah, I completely agree, but...
I mean, he was different. His died, died from a large heart.
The reason she's got so much backlash from it is it wasn't so much a shot at Warrior as much as it was the entire business.
Yeah, it's not going to matter anyway, people. I hate to break it to you, but all these petitions, all these cancel Nancy Grace tweets and things like that, I mean... This is a woman who has had so many other controversies on her and yet still has been on the air. I would be shocked if a bunch of angry wrestling fans got this woman canceled. I would be shocked and amazed.
Let's put it this way. All these people are trying to make these petitions to get Nancy Grace canceled. There was a similar campaign like this recently for people to try to get Stephen Colbert canceled, which definitely had much more support than this would. And you know what happened? Stephen Colbert... did get canceled, except that he's getting promoted to doing the David Letterman show. Whichever show that actually is. It's not called the David Letterman show, because it's not going to be David
Letterman.
The Late Show.
So that's what's going to happen with Nancy. She's going to end up moving and taking Jimmy Fallon's spot on the Tonight Show.
Oh, gosh.
She's going to be taking over the Colbert slot on Comedy Central.
Buega, what were you going to say?
I totally forgot. It couldn't have been that important.
Something about Nancy Grace?
I don't remember, so fuck that bitch.
All right, fuck Nancy Grace. All right, so let's keep the ball rolling then. We learned that one of our big continuing things we're going to have throughout the night is a tournament beginning to crown the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. Good. Fantastic. Let's make things semi-interesting for that Intercontinental title.
Maybe we can do the same thing for the U.S. title.
No.
Nah.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's a thought.
Our first match was actually part of that tournament, and it featured two of our least favorite wrestlers, Alberto Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam. Although, actually, I actually got to give Rob Van Dam a shout-out. We have a special airing tomorrow night, which I probably should have mentioned while we were talking about Warrior before, but we're doing a tribute to the Ultimate Warrior here on Mega Powers Radio tomorrow, Tuesday night at 8 p.m., and I was tweeting out a bunch of things about the event of it, and Rob Van Dam retweeted it. And so far, he's the only wrestler who was cool enough to do it. So, hey, shout out to you, Rob Van Dam. You're a little less lame.
If you'd like to be on Keeping Kayfabe or the Raw After Show, just throw us a line.
I don't know if I'll go that far.
Well, you're certainly enticing him by saying that. Thank you. You're a little less lame. Not you're a cool guy.
Listen, I never said I was against RVD. That was you guys.
I'm a huge RVD fan.
The whole effing show, man.
Yeah, okay. Well, about that. This match luckily wasn't too long. Rob Van Dam got the win with the 5-star frog splash and advances in the tournament. Fellas, why don't you tell us what you thought about this match? Wago, why don't you start us off?
Was you just taking the hit of a bong or something? Your voice went all strained and shit then.
Could have been.
Fitting since it's an RVD match. But yeah, it was actually a fun little match. I enjoyed it, and RVD moves on, so all is good in the world of Wago.
Brian the Brain, this match was okay. Very, very astute assessment. Miguel?
Just another inch of dirt on top of ADR's career.
All right.
Other than that, it was an okay matchup. It didn't offend me too much. It's just, man, ADR didn't get in. You know what? Can I go on a bit of a soapbox real quick?
No.
This is something that's been annoying me. Why is it only one person gets an extra? Oh, you do that to me, but you won't do that to JD when he goes off for 37 minutes. Three guys. Who wants Tony?
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it annoys me that in a three-hour show, everybody...
It's Time Cow. It wasn't me, man. Time Cow's an asshole.
Apparently so.
All right. I got the muzzle on him. You good?
All right. I'm just a little bit annoyed that in a three-hour program, every other wrestler's intros get cut off. You know, ADR got the treatment. Sandow was halfway through a promo when they just decided to come back onto the show.
Remember how cool ADR's intro used to be, too?
Yeah, I mean, with the car and everything.
That's like the only part of him I liked.
He had Ricardo. No, I liked Ricardo Rodriguez.
Well, I'm saying the whole motif of his intro. Yeah, Ricardo Rodriguez announcing him, the car, the pyro, the scarf.
Yeah,
none of that now.
He has none of that, and half the roster doesn't either. Rybacksel didn't get an intro. Like, you can't structure a three-hour show to get everybody's intro in. That's important. I don't care if the guys are just jobbers. Give them an intro. They're contracted talent. They're not just some indie guy you paid, you know, $200 to come in and get squashed by Alexander Rusev. You put
hey, you know who got an intro, so you can't complain? Free MB.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess you're right. My point's invalid then.
Hey, Monday Night Raw doesn't even have intros anymore. I'm pretty sure if the program can't, then some of the wrestlers can't.
Oh, I'm still angry about that. I'm still irritated about that whole thing.
They've been doing that for a long time, too. Yeah, it's very obvious you just recently started watching again because, gosh, how long has it been since they stopped doing it? They stopped really having those, like, regularly. I feel like it was somewhere in the third quarter of last year, probably.
Yeah, months.
Yeah, like I said, because in a three-hour show, you can't schedule, like, 3 or 4 seconds to have an intro for your show and your opponents. No, you gotta fit in time to get tweets out there to further storylines on the WWE app. Ugh. Sorry about that. I just needed to get that off my chest.
Fine. I'm sure Mr. Mango has so much he wants to say about Del Rio versus Rob Van Dam.
The winner of this match. Oh, God damn. What did he win with? The Goddaminator?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Move on.
We got one of these many Warrior Moment flashbacks things they've done throughout the night. This one was to SummerSlam 1988. It was the Intercontinental title match between Warrior and the Honky Tonk Man. One of the matches we will be talking about on our Warrior tribute tomorrow night here on Mega Powers Radio. So we'll talk more about that when we get to it. But let's talk about the next thing we had. It was a commercial for Toys R Us. I gotta say, when this first started, it was a little cringeworthy. This kid was shit.
Yeah.
This reminded me like if like a group of kids were in their like AV class and had to put together a commercial. That was what the acting in this was like. But man, it got saved once Sheamus and Big E showed up. the little hijinks they had with each other. I almost want to give like Sheamus and Big E like their own version of Gilligan's Island.
Oh my God!
Put that on the network.
This segment would have been so awesome if that kid was the Eliminator.
They should have put that little kid through a table.
You know what? Every year, it seems I make for the end of the year awards for SmartCow Moment, I end up giving a kid some kind of a worst ancillary character award. Might have to give to this kid.
Aw, but he wanted the Daniel Bryan doll.
Yeah, well, he didn't realize what the fuck the catchphrase was. It looked like he was, like, waiting and going, wait, is it maybe? Or, wait, fuck, yes? Yeah.
I want a CM Punk doll, mommy.
We got our next matchup was a tag match between the Brotherhood and Rybacksel. I have no notes about this match except that Ryback surprisingly was the one to get the pin on Cody Rhodes. That's shocking. I mean, they've really lost faith in the Brotherhood. Speaking of people that they've lost faith in, I mean, I guess you have your highs and lows, and Brotherhood is just going into a low. I just can't believe Rybacksel is the ones going on the rise that they're going into that low for. Get your guys' opinion on that, Tony.
It really is a shame. Cody Rhodes and Goldust deserve a whole lot better than this. And whether that's in the tag division or singles competition or whatever the case may be, they shouldn't be jobbing out. And they shouldn't be jobbing out to people like Rybacksel, especially. If you're going to be sacrificed to Evolution, okay, you know, that'll be fine. you know, Cody Rhodes can take an RKO and lose, and I'm not going to think twice about it. But getting a clothesline from Ryback, not even a shell shock, a clothesline, and that's enough? What the hell, man? That sucks. That's really a shame.
Mm-hmm. Miguel?
I'm not too worried about it. This is the WWE we're talking about. Wins and losses don't matter. I'm sure the Brotherhood will get their win back on SmackDown or Main Event, or it's not like it's going to lead to the Ryback-Axel getting a title shot or anything. Like, I can't be mad or feel anything about the fact that Ryback and Curtis Axel won, because so what? They've meant so little as of late that it's, unless it actually does lead to them getting a title shot or a run with the belts, I don't care, you know. And as far as the Brotherhood, you know what, they've had their run. If this is the end of it, you know, hopefully they can find some actual storyline to tie that whole thing up, and they don't just fall into obscurity. But like I said, it's just, it was what it was. A matchup between two teams that we've seen wrestle countless times before. I think against each other in previous episodes of Raw.
Could be. A lot of these random tag matches just kind of get lost in my memory.
Same here.
Wago?
I knew giving Ryback the cold shoulder would be what was needed to turn him around. I used to support him, and then I cast him astray, and now he's come back as a winner again. So, fully behind the Ryback-Axel train right now.
Oh, well, I guess we can look for him to be a first-round pick in the next Fantasy League season.
I hope so.
I'm going to have to keep him with a bit of a cold shoulder still. I'm not going that far.
Was it me that took Ryback? I'm not sure. Or did I drop him at one point? I think I might have dropped him.
I originally had Ryback, but then I dropped him, and then when you joined, I think you did pick up Ryback as one of your first picks.
Yeah.
But as far as this match goes, it was the wrong move, but when was the last time they did anything with the Rhodes Brothers anyway? I don't think it really hurts them too much just because they've not done anything in that long.
They were just tag team champions, 2 months ago?
Yeah, but it seems like forever since they've done anything.
2 months, forever. Oh my god, they just had that
in
awesome steel
terms,
cage
yeah.
match where Cody Rhodes did a moonsault off the top of the cage.
Yeah,
it was only super
it.
Fucking awesome. No, Road Dogg botched it.
Yeah, well actually that brings me to the point that I was going to make. If you want to breathe some life into these guys, if the New Age Outlaws are healthy to go after Billy Gunn's injury, slap him in a feud with them and let them go over.
Or screw Billy Gunn, bring back X-Pac. Have it be Road Dogg and X-Pac against
the... I don't
think
they're allowed wrestlers with hepatitis on the roster.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I don't know that much about many wrestlers' venereal diseases, so I'm not going to speak about those things. Moving along, we had a series of promos once again for both Adam Rose and Bo Dallas. Same ones I think we got last week. I don't think there was anything fresh here, but it was still cool to see him again, and I'm excited for both of these guys to be making appearances soon. I dig the characters. I think Bo Dallas is ready to come up. Adam Rose I'm a little more questionable on, but they think he's ready, so let's see what he's got. What are you guys thinking about these guys' futures? Wago?
Yeah, we was talking about this briefly in the chat before, and I have to agree with you. Adam Rose still looks like he needs some more grooming down in developmental. I don't think his gimmick's going to get over in a large audience either. I think it's great for NXT where you've got that small closed environment, but I can't. He might sink when it comes to being on Raw, but keep him in developmental as far as I'm concerned. Bo Dallas is the perfect guy to bring up, though. He's just had his title reign. His role on NXT has kind of fizzled out, and he'll be lost in the shuffle over there. So it's best to move him up to the main roster and see what he can do. Maybe bring him in against whoever wins this Intercontinental title tournament.
Mago?
If they have a plan, it's good. If they don't, and it ends up being like what they did with Xavier Woods or... For a while there, Alexander Rusev, he wasn't really doing anything. And even the people like Titus O'Neil, they turn these people heel, they split tag teams up, they do a whole bunch of different stuff with people, and then they drop them off the face of the earth and you never see them again. I don't think that that's beneficial to anybody, having somebody come out and not do anything and then push them off to the side and then just go, well, we'll figure something out later. So for somebody like an Xavier Woods, he's gone nowhere since he ended up coming to the roster. And if Bo Dallas and Adam Rose do the same thing, they're killing them. But if they do have a solid plan and they are going to push them, it could work.
Now, let me throw this one out there. I think it is possible they could bring him up with no exact direction. What I think they would have to do is have him come out there and do his Bo Leaf shtick and just do it on some random person or in some random segment every week for a little while. Kind of like how they introduced the Bad News Barrett character, where he just came out and delivered bad news for a bit before actually coming out and wrestling. Now, whenever he's coming out, he's getting these massive pops because people love the Bad News Barrett shtick.
What I could see them doing with Bo is pretty much giving him his own talk show skit where he does a motivational speech.
I like that.
But that's some. I mean, if they've got no direction for him, I'd be okay with that. It's something.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move on to another NXT star who has recently come. Oh, I'm sorry, Miguel. That was very subtle. Go ahead, Miguel.
You know, Adam Rose, I think his gimmick is too one note. I get the feeling he might have a good little build of steam early on, but I think he's just going to end up like a Fandango or a Brodus Clay. Fandango probably would have died maybe a year beforehand if it hadn't been for the night after Raw. I think he probably would have just hit the same level that Brodus Clay is right now. It's just there's nothing to it except the one note gimmick. And I think initially people are going to dig it, but WWE's just going to get bored with it and they're going to move on to something else. Bo Dallas, on the other hand, I think there's enough psychology in there, just playing with the fans and whatnot, that I think there's a lot more mileage with that character. I do agree that I think something that allow him to play to the crowd would be fine for him initially. You know, if they don't want to just throw him into a rivalry or a feud or anything like that, you can't have something where he just plays to the fans. But the question I have with Bo is, it's obvious he's a heel who's pretending to be a babyface, mm-hmm. but he's so good at it that he's getting babyface reactions. Mm-hmm. So is he a babyface? I don't understand how this is going to work out.
It's an anomaly, man. This is like Kurt Angle when he first came on the scene. This is the exact same thing he was doing.
You just need to believe. That's all.
He's a good guy that's playing a bad guy, but because he plays it so well, the people cheer for him. So he's an... I don't know. I'm confused, and I guarantee you WWE is going to be confused. They're going to be like, I don't know what to do with this reaction. Make him go full-on heel. Strip away his gimmick. And they're just going to give him some one-dimensional heel thing where I'm afraid of what WWE might do when the fans react to this.
I wouldn't worry about it. I mean, they've already played around with this gimmick so much in NXT. It's had plenty of time to evolve.
True, but that's like you said, that's a small crowd. When it comes to playing to live TV and the big stadium crowds, I think WWE, they get cold feet. They fall into what's familiar. So they strip away whatever is giving them the reaction they don't want. And I wonder if that's going to hurt Bo in the long run.
Here's my question. Do they acknowledge the brotherhood between him and Bray Wyatt?
Hell no.
I think they might have a segment where they have a stare down or something just to kind of do a tongue-in-cheek thing, and then that's it. That's all they're going to do.
If they're going to do that, it's got to be kind of like what they did with Goldust and Cody in the Royal Rumble or something, but outside of that, don't touch it.
Hmm. You know what they can even do is, you mentioned Goldust and Cody. I remember they did like a backstage skit. I think it was at a WrestleMania. Maybe it was somewhere else. And it ended with Dusty Rhodes coming in like, man, I got some crazy kids. You could just have like IRS come in and just make a similar comment.
IRS could be like, oh, man, wish I could write these kids off.
You know, I remember there was a great gimmick. Remember there was like a little while when Bo Dallas first debuted where everybody was putting pictures of Bo Dallas on themselves? I would love for them to adopt that and have that be a gimmick of his, where he just takes pictures of fans and just superimposes his face onto them.
Maybe that's a way for Vince McMahon to get around the blue dot issue with Christian. Put Bo Dallas's face on it instead.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I want to see
that. Yeah, but if you put Bo Dallas's face on Christian's face, it gets uglier.
Yeah, but funny ugly.
It would be funnier than what John Cena did, which we'll get to in a bit.
Let's stop talking about ugly people. Let's talk about some pretty people. We had another NXT star, Paige, who is now the current WWE Divas Champion, as well as still the current NXT Divas Champion. Not sure how they're going to work their way through that one. But she had a singles match non-title with Alicia Fox. This wasn't too bad, I gotta say. I don't typically think of Alicia Fox as one of the better workers, but hell, you put her out there with Paige, and they had a pretty fine Divas match for Raw. It wasn't like anything amazing, but by usual standards of what we get on Raw, I'd say this was a solid B+. Get you guys' thoughts on this, Miguel?
Unimpressed. I really have not been impressed with Paige as of late. You know, I heard all this build up with her that she was a solid worker and she knew how to wrestle in the ring. And these last two matches have just been, she hits one move and then goes for the pin. It's almost the John Cena effect where she gets beaten up for most of the matchup, then hits one or two moves in succession, and then goes for the pin and wins. And I can't buy into it. I don't like the way they're booking her. I know in NXT she played a much better heel, but for some reason they're bringing her up as a babyface. Maybe that's the issue. Once they turn her, her true colors might come out. But right now, I'm just not feeling it.
Wayo?
I totally disagree with that. It's a short TV match, and when you have a short TV match, normally the face takes a bit of a beatdown, comes back and wins the match. It's just how it works. So to judge her off that alone is, especially only 2 weeks in, is totally a misjustice. Give her some time. When you actually watch her wrestle someone like AJ for a longer period, your tune might change on it, because her match with Emma and a few of the other matches she's had on NXT have been awesome.
Just watch that match she had with Emma on
Arrival.
I don't know why that's a tongue twister. Watch that match that she had with Emma on Arrival. There we go.
So, yeah, she can definitely go, and she's barely been given any time yet, as Divas generally aren't on Raw, so I'm fully supporting her.
Tony?
I'm not too familiar with anybody on NXT for the most part. I've only seen a couple episodes here and there, so I haven't seen a lot of matches with Paige, but what I have seen, I've been impressed with, and I think that she is at the very least above average, and at the very most, somebody who can be a top person in the Divas division. And, you know, if she is going to end up having matches with Alicia Fox that are like this every week, that's going to get tiresome down the line. But if they don't get worse, then that's a positive. So I think that the best part about this whole match is obviously that finisher, and the whole rest of it, it doesn't really matter. But that finisher is awesome enough.
Yeah, that I gotta admit that did kind of perk me up at the end, because I don't even know if you're allowed to show something like that. I think I saw that in like the 2/3 point in the Kama Sutra or something. I don't know what that was.
Now, Miguel, you've already shit on her. We know what side of the fence you're on.
You know, you're either an AJ fan or you're a Paige fan, it seems. The lines are being drawn. The blood will be drawn, and it's going to be worse than PlayStation versus Xbox.
I'm a Naomi fan, all right?
Naomi?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Cameron fan. Actually, I like Eva Marie, but unfortunately we found out tonight that she's not going to be able to have babies.
Awesome.
Aww,
now she can't fucking spawn any more demon children.
Oh, goodness gracious. We have Paul Heyman come out to first get the crowd riled up by using the heat of Brock Lesnar beating The Undertaker's legendary WrestleMania undefeated streak. And then he uses that heat to be parlayed onto his newest client, Cesaro. No theme music for Cesaro coming out. I mean, I guess he's not going to come out there still using the Real Americans music, but he still had his old theme music. Why couldn't he come out to that? I'm guessing they just haven't gotten something prepared for him yet, but Cesaro comes out. He has a match against Mark Henry. This is also part of that Intercontinental title number one contendership tournament. Cesaro gets the win with the neutralizer. Always a sight to see when he does one of these feats of strength. Unfortunately, his balance is not as good as his feats of strength, because while he was walking off on the ring apron, he almost slipped and busted his ass. Almost, though. Didn't actually. So, guess you can't laugh at him too much. The narrow problem that we had on screen there. But get your guys' opinions about Cesaro's performance tonight, Tony Mango.
You know, I'm really at this point expecting him to come out to Somebody Call My Mama, because everybody seems to get that theme now, and the fact that they didn't do that is a positive. But I really want him to have a theme song. I don't like it when people don't. And if they end up dragging this out even further than next week, it's going to really start annoying me. You can't really have Paul Heyman come out every single time he comes out and cut a promo that's essentially going to be the same thing. I mean, there's not too much meat behind this cohesion yet, so I don't want to hear 20 promos over the next 20 weeks of Paul Heyman saying, the next big star is Cesaro. Well, I know. So just do his damn theme song and come out to the ring and clap for him and all that other kind of stuff. I did think that it was really funny that he almost slipped, and I like his response to the two, where he's just like, oh, almost, but no, didn't.
What else can you do, you know? You gotta take in stride. As Vince McMahon says, there are no mistakes on live TV.
Right. So kudos to Cesaro for not falling like that. I'm sure I would have busted my ass and looked like a complete jackass in the middle of doing that. But then again, I can't pick up Mark Henry either. So he's got a million different points on me. I didn't really like this match a whole lot, but that's because it's a limitation between the two people. If you have somebody like a Mark Henry against a Cesaro, their styles are going to clash a little bit too much. And outside of the fact that he picked them up and those uppercuts, the rest was kind of boring.
Brian the Brain in the chat room saying, give him 20s swing music. Of course, to fit the fact that he is the king of swing. Kind of cool. Have him go to some Count Basie or Duke Ellington or something. Be cool. Miguel.
I got to say, one thing that annoyed me about this is the mixed reactions. It's clear that the fans want to cheer Cesaro, that they like the feats of strength, they like his power. You know, the fans want to get behind Cesaro, but clearly WWE wants the guy to be a heel, or else they wouldn't have Brock Lesnar come out here and just completely heel on the fans. So I think last week the fans were more into it because you had a lot of those smarky fans that were willing to just cheer whatever Paul Heyman said. But this week you very much got a mixed reaction. You know, when Paul Heyman came out and started talking, the fans were completely against him. And then when Cesaro came out, you kind of heard, you heard some boos, but mostly cheers. And I don't know what their plan is. I really do wish they would just pick a side with this. Either we're supposed to boo Cesaro, or you listen to the fans and you cheer him. Either way, I think this is going to be a big problem going forward that they really need to flesh out. In terms of the matchup itself, I knew it was just going to be an exhibition to showcase Cesaro's strength. I mean, it was basically set up for them to get the neutralizer on. You know, he could show his strength by picking up Mark Henry, and that's pretty much it. So I wasn't expecting much. I will say this, though. The whole aspect of an RVD-Cesaro feud, given the Paul Heyman factor, I think that could be a much bigger feud, and it kind of sucks that it's just going to be blown off in this, you know, Intercontinental Tournament semifinal matchup, because I do think you could get a few solid pay-per-view matches out of those two.
Wago?
I'm a little confused what they want to do with Cesaro. They haven't turned babyface, and now they align him with a heel manager. I like Paul Heyman being the mouthpiece, if they're going to stick him with a manager. It's just a little odd, and Cesaro's kind of having an identity crisis right now, but...
Well, not the first time. I mean, what, he was a Swiss playing a German who was American?
Maybe his identity is that he has an identity crisis.
Maybe that could be his thing, like Joseph Park in Abyss, where he just has multiple personalities.
You know, that sounds like TNA. I don't want to talk about it. Anyway, as far as the opening segment goes with Paul Heyman, it was so-so. I liked these. Then the match happened, and I kind of just fell flat. It was cool that he picked Mark Henry up, but he's done it to Greg Hardy. So being there, done that, match was shit.
All right, we had Lana come out next. She gets her own intro music. So somebody's at least getting intro music, and it's her own. It's individual from Alexander Rusev's. And the best part about this, of her having intro music, she's not doing that stupid Venomania thing anymore.
Oh, she didn't? Oh, because no. I muted her as soon as she walked out. I might have to start listening.
No,
to her again.
She never said it, and it actually made her much more tolerable.
Huh.
Her not saying it. When she just did the regular Bulgarian talking and then her English bit. Without that, in the beginning, it was great. So I guess I got to edit a new intro music for this show.
Yeah, I was going to say, how dare you comment on how annoying that is. You have that at the intro of your show.
Well, we've got to catch people's attention. She Alexander, she introduces Alexander Rusev, who comes out for a very, very quick match with Xavier Woods. I feel like I've seen these guys fight 100 times. Alexander Rusev gets the very quick victory with the accolade submission. Typical squash match to get over your new monster heel. It's, you know, it's fine. It's what it is. This is what you used to get nothing but on Raw and Superstars and the like. We've been spoiled over the years to expect top-notch matches, so it's fine. Just eventually he's going to have to face someone real, so we'll have to wait until those days comes. I mean, hopefully they don't make the same mistake they did with like Ryback and Brodus Clay, where they're having him do these kind of matches for, God, what felt like a year when they were doing that.
No, the big mistake they made with Ryback was that they went from jobber matches to a WWE title shot.
Yeah, that's true. Miguel, why don't you take over on this one?
Well, first off, let me just say how sad I feel for Xavier Woods. I mean, WWE likes to promote this guy as, like, a PhD scholar and this, you know, very intelligent guy that's got his stuff together. And, yeah, we pay – this guy's got a PhD. He's got a bright future ahead of him. And we pay him to get beaten up every single week. It's like, can you do something with the guy if you're going to flaunt him out there to the press and say, look – look, we've got smart people. Apparently, he's not smart enough to get out of this business. But hey, you know, whatever. It's kind of annoying. I think Xavier Woods deserves better. I still am a big fan of his from the days of Consequences Creed, and I hate to see him fall so far. Now that I've got that off my chest, I don't like Alexander Rusev. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. To me, it's an old school 80s gimmick that just feels outdated. I'm not impressed by his power stuff because I went through a year of that with Ryback. You know, I don't think the guy has a good looking body. To me, he just looks like a muscular fat guy. You know, the only person that is seemingly getting over with this is Lana. And, you know, now that she's gotten rid of that awful German, whatever that word was at the beginning, maybe she could actually, you know, it's more tolerant to hear her talk. But yeah, at least somebody's getting over in that duo. But I think Alexander Rusev's going to fizzle out. He's going to get – his career is going to be – he's going to get a John Cena matchup, and then they're going to stick him with Santino to do the comedy bit for a while. I see that happening. It happened with Kozlov. It happened with Kali. It's going to happen with Rusev.
Mango?
You know, I would hate to totally agree about that just because I don't want it to happen. But I kind of can see that happening, and that scares me a little bit. I thought that, funny enough, when Lana came out, that was going to be Rusev's new theme, and I was like, what the hell are they thinking?
I kind of like Rusev's theme. I like that hard pumping sound. I don't know what it is, but it sounds like battle music. I kind of dig it.
Yeah, the only thing fucking interesting about him.
Well, that's perfectly fine, but then, you know, after doing a Cesaro thing where he gets no music and then they had that, I thought that was going to be Rusev's, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. I do think that there is a chance that these two can make it somewhere, and I do think that Rusev has a far better chance of making it than Lana does. She's just not interesting enough. I mean, she pulls off whatever this character is supposed to be good enough now.
Oh, she would not make it on her own if she wasn't part of this package.
Not at all. And it's similar in a lot of ways to what Cesaro used to have with Oksana. She was there to just sort of bring Cesaro in. And as soon as he was noticeable and people actually could go, oh, okay, his name is Cesaro, they kicked her right to the curb. And it was just like, we don't need you anymore. And that's going to happen with Lana. Rusev might not be able to cut a promo. I'm not really sure. But he doesn't necessarily have to, and Lana's not doing that much better to really be like a Paul Heyman where you can put her with a bunch of other people and, you know, the Bobby Heenans and everybody of the days where she's going to be a valuable asset. After Rusev becomes noticeable enough that people can recognize his name and that's good enough, she's gone.
I disagree. I think that I think she's good looking enough. She's attractive enough. And clearly they're setting her up as a mouthpiece. I think she could probably bounce off onto one other superstar. I think they have to flesh out her gimmick, though. She has to be more than just the Russian, you know, translator or whatever she talks for Alexander Rusev. They need to give her more of a gimmick.
They gave her a nickname. She's the Ravishing Russian. That's more than a lot of people that are, you know, just secondary people get.
who knows? But I have more faith in a future for Leona than I do Alexander Rusev. I think he, like I said, he's just another lump of meat for Cena to barrel through somewhere down the line when they need to fill up a main event for a pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, that's wrestling. You know, that's the way things used to always be. You know, that's what they did for Hogan. You know, they built up Earthquake. They built up Bad News Brown. They built up freaking One Man Gang. Big Boss Man.
King Kong Bundy.
That's just what it did. You know, build up a big monster heel, beat him to the big baby face, and then either maybe they'll find a spot or they just move on to something else.
It's usually the case.
The way she goes, the way of the road. Wago, do we get your thoughts on this?
No, but all my thoughts have pretty much been expressed by Miguel. He's, as soon as he loses to a big baby face, his career's done.
Well, I guess this all remains to be seen. I'm happy we're at least getting all these NXT people coming up, and I'll include Rusev in there. I think Rusev is one of the few people they brought up that I think is ready to at least come up there and try what he has. I think he could have used more refinement, but you can't keep people down there forever.
You
got to start bringing some of these people up to shake things up. So let's see what he's got. Go ahead, Miguel.
Can I get you guys a quick opinion then? If we're talking about guys that haven't been brought up or should already be brought up, what do you think is keeping WWE from bringing up Sami Zayn? You think that they still see him as just being unready, or they just don't have a place for him?
I wonder if they just haven't washed the indie stink off him yet.
I think it's more than that. I think that they've got NXT, and whilst it's a developmental, it's on the network. They still need to keep it interesting. Sami Zayn's one of the biggest names they've got down there with Adrian Neville, so they still need to keep some people down there to keep the show going. The rest of the roster's fucking bland as hell.
What would Sami Zayn do when he came up? Who are you going to feud him with? You going to bring Evan Bourne back to feud with him?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Like I said, I think it's a situation where they just don't know what to do with the guy. I think they want to do something with him. He's gotten over huge in NXT, so they'd be a fool not to bring him up somehow. But I think when you've got guys like similar guys like him and Cesaro and Seth Rollins, you know, guys that fit that very ROH, you know, mold. Yeah, Daniel Bryan, obviously. I think in their minds he would get lost in the fray. I do agree that maybe they just haven't found something for him, but it's a shame, man, because the guy's really talented, and I think he could really get himself over.
Well, he's certainly not someone that I think they have any problems of confidence with him. I mean, he's certainly a cornerstone of the NXT show, and maybe maybe Steven's right. Maybe that is why they just want to keep him on there, because you watch the intro to the show, Sami Zayn's one of the important people you see in there. People expect him to be on there doing his crazy feats and getting the crowd to chant Ole.
Well, if you get rid of him, you get rid of him, who do you fucking have? Mojo fucking Rawley?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you have Tyler Breeze.
Ugh.
Yeah, but Tyler Breeze is a heel. You can't build a whole promo, or not a whole promo, a whole show around a heel if people are supposed to be not wanting to necessarily see him. And Mojo Rawley, the hell with Mojo Rawley.
They're going to turn him babyface soon enough. He's getting a lot of cheers from fans. Fans are digging the Tyler Breeze gimmick. I wouldn't be surprised if they turn him babyface soon enough and see how that works.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on then to another Intercontinental number one contendership tournament matchup. This one was Sheamus versus Jack Swagger. And I think this might be a little surprise, because I think a lot of people looked at that tournament bracket and figured, oh, we're probably going to see Cesaro versus Swagger in the end. Well, nope. Right off the bat, Sheamus takes out Jack Swagger with a clean victory, and Sheamus is moving on in the tournament. And really nothing more to say about that. I don't know if you guys have anything at all to add to that.
Was this the matchup where fans started cheering for CM Punk?
Probably.
I think that was the Wade Barrett one, actually.
No, it was this one. Well, I think it happened in both, actually, because I remember happening in the Barrett one, too, so...
People were into the Barrett match, though. They weren't really into this one.
Yeah, this one just kind of felt really flat. I think it's just because these guys... okay, Sheamus has nothing going for him right now. He came back hot at the Royal Rumble and then really hasn't done much since. You know, he was in the Battle Royal, I believe. So
I wouldn't even say he came back hot. He was oh, hey, it's Sheamus.
Yeah.
Sheamus.
And then you've got Jack Swagger with his dumb 90s lesbian haircut. You know, I'm sorry. I just had to get that off my chest. His haircut's terrible.
He doesn't look like a dyke.
Yeah. I think I've seen that same haircut at Lilith Fair. But yeah, anyway, I don't think Swagger could get any heat if you lit him on fire. So you've got two guys that people just don't care about. They're going to dump on it. And they did. They chanted for CM Punk. They started chanting for JBL, I think, at one point. People just did not care. And it's unfortunate because I don't think these guys are terrible wrestlers. I don't think the match they put on was bad. It's just nothing.
We've talked about this before. Crowds these days are looking for almost any chance they can to chant JBL anymore.
Yeah.
JBL's fucking awesome.
JBL is pretty freaking awesome. All right, so we go to commercial. We come back. We see someone who I was shocked to see in the ring with a microphone in his hand, Damian Sandow, crying about how he used to be a Money in the Bank holder and he deserves better. Gets interrupted by the Big Show. He continues talking all the way through Big Show's music and entrance while he's walking down the ramp. Continues complaining all the way into Big Show's face, eventually warranting himself a weapon of mass destruction to the jaw, being knocked out. No match, no indication of where this is going in the future. I don't know if we're just supposed to get a Big Show Sandow feud and if it's supposed to mean something or if this was just time filler or what the hell this was. But yeah, it happened. Miguel?
Did Damian Sandow feel up Stephanie McMahon or something? I mean, this is a burial the likes of which I haven't seen since Zack Ryder. I mean, you go from being a world title contender, winning Money in the Bank, and you're just continuously jobbed out week after week. I feel bad for the guy. I agree. I do think he deserves better. It's just, I don't know what this guy did to anger somebody, but man, this is worse than Del Rio's fall from grace. At least Del Rio kind of deserves it because he's kind of boring at this point. But Sandow, I think, still got it. I think he has a cool gimmick. I think the guy's solid enough on the mic. But man, he's fallen hard. I don't know what to say about it or who he upset backstage.
Wago?
Promotional malpractice. I mean, him and Cody Rhodes were so awesome coming off the split from, what was it, Team Broad Scholars?
Yeah.
That was the name, yeah. One, Cody Rhodes ended up getting in a feud with the Authority, and Damian Sandow ended up winning Money in the Bank. And then both of them just seemed to, WWE just gave up on, and more so Sandow than Cody Rhodes, but Jesus, he's so talented and can go in ring. It's just another case where there's like Dolph Ziggler, he deserves better too, but WWE doesn't see it that way.
It makes me sad that there really is no competition that these guys should go to, because these guys do deserve so much better. At least in the case of Ziggler, he's kind of gotten that jobber to the stars bit where, you know, he's losing matches to A-level guys. I mean, when you're jobbing out to the Big Show in comedy skits and you're just jobbing out to B-level talent week after week, I mean, you've reached a new low in the company, and I just don't get it. Why him? Why not? And why couldn't R-Truth have been put in that situation? You know, why couldn't Brodus Clay have been put in there? I mean, the guy is a heel, and he's complaining about how he's the main event player. Put him in that gimmick. Why does it have to be Sandow?
Yeah, and the thing is, we was all singing Sandow's praises after that match with John Cena. I remember we all were saying, wow, he actually can go. He didn't look odd in there. And then they just kicked him to the curb.
That proves to me that losing to Cena just does not get you over. I'm sick and tired of people saying, you know, when you talk about a big loss like that, people are like, no, he's not getting buried. He's getting elevated in losing. Nobody gets elevated in losing when getting beaten by John Cena. Didn't work for Dolph Ziggler. Didn't work for Damian Sandow. It didn't work for Ryback. It just doesn't work. And I'm sick and tired of people telling me that. You know, John Cena's not Ric Flair. Losing to John Cena doesn't make you look better.
Mr. Mango?
Sucks.
Indeed. All right. Well, we have the Wyatt family coming out next, and they actually go all the way into the ring where they're cutting a promo, which was interesting. You know, usually when they do this kind of thing, they would just do it in a backstage bit. This, they actually brought them out into the ring to interact with the crowd, which made it feel unique. Other than that, there wasn't really much notable to say about what Bray Wyatt was saying, other than it's just the usual entrancing bit that he does. Eventually, John Cena comes out to interrupt it. Oh, my goodness. It was everyone's favorite John Cena mood. Jokey, fucking around, doesn't give a care in the world, John Cena. Yeah, we love that. But eventually, he finally did get a little serious. and challenged Bray Wyatt to a steel cage match at Extreme Rules. So we learned the gimmick for their next bout that they're going to have, hopefully, where Bray Wyatt will get his victory back. If I don't know how he plans getting a victory in a steel cage match. I'm guessing that means that they want him to get the victory without the help of Harper or Rowan, and if that's the case, good. Fantastic. If that's the end of it, then maybe it does make it all worth it, but that remains to be seen. Tony?
Sucked. No, I don't like this John Cena. I don't think that pretty much anybody does at this point, unless you're one of the few groups that support Cena and, you know, the little kids and all that other kind of stuff. I was really hoping for a different match too, instead of a steel cage match, because I think that one of the problems with their match at WrestleMania was that I don't want to necessarily say that Wyatt and Cena clash with their styles, but I think that if you added weapons to the mix, it would have been a lot better. And a steel cage match is the total opposite. That's taking two people that are supposed to depend solely on their in-ring work. And that works better for the people that can do in-ring work above and beyond everybody else. That's the Daniel Bryans and the Bret Harts and all that other kind of stuff. It's not going to work with Cena and Wyatt. And I think that this is a mistake.
Brian the Brain in the chat saying, I must admit to laughing at the photos. I forgot to even mention those. John Cena bringing their classic bit of photoshopping photos. Who does that? Who photoshops photos for laughs?
Chris Jericho does. He invented that. Oh,
touche. Touche. So, Miguel, what did you think of this?
Oh, man. That John Cena promo was an abortion. That was awful. That I'm a TNA fan now thanks to that promo.
That's an insult to abortions.
But, yeah, I hated that. I will say this, when John Cena started to turn serious, I perked up a little bit because we need more of that. We need more serious Cena promos. I'm sick and tired of the laughy, jokey promos. I think he has an intensity to him, and I think when he's allowed to let that out, he can put some at least decent promos together. The stuff before that with Bray was awesome. I mean, Bray Wyatt is just so good at that character. He's so good at what he does. In terms of the actual matchup, it's funny. You know, cage matches used to be a way to hide a lot of the poor... I'm sorry, is somebody lighting a cigarette or smoking while I'm talking? I heard some, like puffing noise or something in the background. What the heck was that?
Sounded like static to me. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Sorry about that. But yeah, in terms of this cage match, you know, it used to be that if you had two guys that couldn't really work a match too well, you could hide it with a gimmick like this. You know, you didn't have to worry about putting on a great four-star classic. You could just slam people back and forth into the cage and whatnot. But cage matches have become so deballed as of late that it really has just been a glorified regular matchup. The cage doesn't even factor into it anymore. So I don't know how this matchup is going to go, if it's just going to be more of the same like it was with the scene with the WrestleMania matchup. I hope that it's a little bit more rough, that at least somebody gets busted open. I know that's hard to ask for in the PG era, but with a matchup like this, I think it could work to Bray's advantage, either if he cuts Cena open or if Cena cuts him open, whichever the case may be. There's a lot of potential with this matchup, but
that's an old school cage match, though. We're not going to get that in a PG era cage match.
That's the point I'm making, that this matchup has so much.
It's not going to happen. I mean, I wish we can get like an 80s Ric Flair cage match, like Ric Flair Dusty Rhodes style cage match. No, not going
to
happen.
I know. I mean, this matchup has so much potential to be good, but I can't see WWE even leeching any kind of potential off of it. So I'm going to withhold my judgment for now.
Wiggle.
The entire reason this is a cage match is they need to get Bray Wyatt a win, but they don't want him to pin Cena.
You're right.
He's going to go out the door, or he's climbing over the top, and it's probably going to be one of those deals where Cena's feet are about to hit the floor and Bray gets through the door last second. As far as tonight's promo goes, fucking atrocious by John Cena, and Bray Wyatt was totally on point. Not much more to say than that.
All right, well, we have a mixed tag team matchup next. Santino and Emma already in the ring to face Fandango and Layla? What? Yeah, apparently Fandango and Summer Rae broke up over the past week over Twitter. Jeez, feel like I'm in freaking high school.
Oh, this angered me so much. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, you wrote off an angle over Twitter? I mean, that's some TNA Bush League nonsense right there. I mean, it's just, it's show, don't tell. Put it, you know, slip in something from, like, off the app or something where there was a backstage bit or something like that. Don't put that on Twitter. No one cares. Your fan base is not, I don't know what. I was shocked. I was honestly shocked. I couldn't believe they did that.
I agree. I'm not as upset about it, but I did think it was pretty lame. Especially when people have really gotten attached to this pairing. I mean, there's not many like couples that people are really behind. You have the Authority couple and you had Fandango and Summer Rae. And it took a while for me to really grow on Summer Rae because I was so attached to the first dancer he had that when they brought in Summer Rae, I was like, who the crap is this? But eventually she won me over. She got much better at dancing. She had the beautiful gams that she has. And, yeah, unfortunately she's just another casualty of this goddamn Total Divas show. It had to ruin another perfectly good thing that WWE had going.
At least she's getting over. You know, with her gimmick, I was afraid that she might just get kind of pushed aside, that they might slot somebody more important. In fact, like if you'd have told me that her being replaced by Layla would happen like 3 months into her tenure, I would have totally bought it. But I think it's a situation where Summer Rae's getting over and Fandango just isn't, and they need to separate those two quick.
I don't see Summer Rae getting much more over than she is right now. I think Fandango could still carry on. I don't think Summer Rae can. I guess that remains to be seen. I do think that Fandango is not going to make it very far with Layla, though. They did not look very well with each other. I would rather have Fandango by himself than with Layla. But I would say call up his first dancer or just get someone completely different.
I wouldn't mind having Layla all by myself, to be quite honest with you.
Okay, Mango.
I have to completely agree about Layla. She's not going to end up being beneficial to this whatsoever. If anything, she's going to make Fandango look worse. And it's really a shame because Fandango deserves better than that. I don't know if necessarily Summer Rae would have been that much of a difference maker because she's been here for a while and Fandango hasn't gone up back from what he was before. But man, Layla and Fandango looks awkward as hell. And I like Layla, and I like Fandango, so it's not just like, oh, well, why didn't they give him Alicia Fox, because I like Alicia Fox, or, you know, I just don't think that Layla's the type of person for that. She has a dance background, but she doesn't have a ballroom dance background, so I don't know if maybe that's what's weird about it, and I would have just expected her to do the Extreme Exposé thing again or something. But I'm not a big fan of it, and I think this is another situation where WWE made the call. They said, you know what, let's just give it a shot, see what happens, and a couple weeks from now, they're going to nix it.
We can only hope that maybe Fandango and Summer Rae will make up or get somebody else. I don't know. Wago?
I have not been paying enough attention to this feud nor this match to give a fair assessment, so got nothing to say.
Well, we head backstage to Stephanie McMahon reading the Riot Act, first to somebody we can't see off screen, but eventually we pan out to see that it is Kane. She asks him, what happened to the devil's favorite demon? Kane stands up, huffing and puffing, walks over to the glass case that holds his mask, lifts it up, pulls out the mask, and says that he is going to obliterate Daniel Bryan to hell.
Well, since it's there, he might as well.
I did notice that all the scenes that they did in the whatever the office that you want to call it, that they had, that glass case did appear a little bit more noticeable than it has the past few weeks. So I was wondering if that was going to come into play at some point, and sure enough, it did. Great. I say it's great. This whole corporate Kane thing is fine in the background, but when he's in the ring, it looks stupid. Put that mask back on him. Yeah. Tony, what do you think?
I actually like Kane not having the mask anymore. And that's weird because I was one of the big vocal, my God, put the fucking mask back on things for the longest time when he didn't wear the mask. But
newsflash, wrestling fan doesn't know what he wants.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because he is getting older now and I like the idea that he's the corporate Kane character instead of just Kane with no shirt and bald and wearing the same pants. Maybe that's what the big difference is, but if he has the mask on and he keeps going back and forth between wearing it and not. I think that's going to be really weird. I don't know if WWE is going to be able to pull that off.
Wayo?
Totally okay with it if it gets Kane versus Daniel Bryan, because I think he needs plenty of challengers that aren't Randy Orton and Batista and Triple H. Perfect guy to put in there with him whilst Evolution are doing their thing with the Shield. So I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of it and what match they're going to have at Extreme Rules. As far as this segment goes, I wasn't all that into it, but hey, Kane's got a little stagnant, and I've not really enjoyed his corporate role, so I'm all for it.
Miguel?
I'm tired of Stephanie emasculating other men. I'm just not into it anymore. Trying to do her best Vince impression. It is what it is. In terms of the whole setup of this scene, I thought it was really cheesy, the fact that they just happened to have the mask on the table next to them. It was really poorly done. In terms of him actually having the mask, it is what it is. I mean, Kane really just is a figure for the authority. He really is just a hired gun. Whether he's wearing the mask or wearing the suit, or whether they want him to have him wear the mask and the suit at the same time, I'm cool with that as well. It doesn't really matter. It's going to be the same Kane matchup. It's going to be the same Kane promos. I mean, I will admit his promos as corporate Kane have been a little bit drier than his ones as masked Kane. So maybe we'll get a slightly better promo out of him. But you know what? It is what it is. It's Kane. You know, what else can you say at this point?
All right, guys, we got one match left to talk about, and it is the final match in the tournament to crown the number one contender for the Intercontinental Tournament. Well, the final first round match, I should say. It was between Dolph Ziggler and Bad News Bat, who came out sporting a new overcape. I guess the one I just wanted to call it. It was kind of like a combination of a cape and an overcoat, except it had these really boss shoulder pads on it, like these leather freaking shoulder pads. I don't even know how to describe what it was he was wearing, but it was cool. And he did his little boom thing as he throws his arms in the air during his entrance to throw it off. Always a cool visual. I always liked that little entrance that he had. I do miss the jacket with the rose. I did think that was cool and classy, but he's matured. He's moved on, so every character's got to evolve. Wade Barrett gets a victory in this, and what I think was one of the better matches of the night. I thought these guys had an excellent exhibition. Dolph Ziggler looked great. Wade Barrett looked great. Wade Barrett, though, the one moving on to the second round. And what I would think is actually my favorite in this tournament, even though you got Cesaro in it, I'm cheering for Wade Barrett. Go around to you guys, Miguel.
Well, first off, let me just say it's funny we're almost done. We're almost to the end of the show, and we didn't even talk about the tag team title matchup. Maybe we'll get to that after this. But
what?
The tag title matchup, the one between the Orton, Batista, and the Usos. We completely skipped over that one.
No, we talked about that.
And we didn't.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Shut up. No one likes you.
No, we did. We ran down the whole Orton Batista.
Oh,
Evolution.
We
did that all in one lump sum. If you got something you want to throw about that, we'll talk about it in a little bit. But anyway,
no, it's fine.
Barrett and Ziggler.
I did kind of mark out that he brought back the cape. It's shades of the old Barrett, the NXT era Barrett, when he used to actually come out with a cape. I don't know if that actually meant anything, but I thought it was kind of funny. By the way, Peyton, I think the term you're looking for is pauldrons. I think that's what those shoulder pad things are called.
That is an excellent term for it. Yes.
Yeah.
But busting out your freaking, like, where'd you get that from? Like Final Fantasy or EverQuest or something?
Warcraft, actually. But you know what? I like this matchup a lot. I think Ziggler can make anybody look like money. It's so frustrating that the guy clearly has a huge fan base. They respect his work ethic, but WWE just doesn't care. He's there basically to just put guys over, and that's pretty much it. I was not surprised that Barrett won, because I knew Ziggler, they weren't going to give Ziggler this chance. He's there to put Barrett over, and he did. I was thoroughly entertained by it, and, you know, I don't know where they're going to go with the whole Sheamus thing now that Sheamus seems to have that leg injury, so maybe they just hotshot Barrett to the finals matchup, who knows. In terms of this matchup, though, match of the night, in my opinion.
Wayo?
Yeah, it was a great match. Enjoyed it. I'm glad that they're putting Wade Barrett over. He went so long where we didn't even see him wrestle. So it's nice that post-Mania season, the spotlight's on him, and I hope they just don't drop it. As far as who's going to win this tournament, I'm guessing it's going to be Cesaro since he's partnered up with Paul Heyman. But if it's not him, Wade Barrett's a close second.
I actually want Barrett to win only because I want to see Cesaro and RVD go into a program together. I think they, like I said, I think the whole Heyman dynamic between them, you could probably get a few good months out of this, out of a feud between those guys. I think Barrett can babysit the IC title, and Cesaro can get a somewhat upper mid card main event feud against RVD.
Hmm. Wago, what about you? Oh, you just went about this, didn't you?
Can go again if you want.
Okay. No, Mr. Mango.
I don't know why everybody's kind of confused about whether or not Cesaro is going to win it and everything. I looked at the tournament when they first popped up with the graphic, and immediately I went, okay, Cesaro is going to win, and then Barrett's going to win, and then it's going to end up coming down to Barrett in the end, and he's going to end up winning this because Jack Swagger is going to screw out Cesaro when he ends up facing RVD. I think that that's a pretty obvious kind of outcome, and if they do anything different, I'm going to be really shocked. They didn't do any kind of a real match with Cesaro and Swagger, and to jump him right into the Intercontinental title scene is not really going to do him that much. Big E really hasn't been doing a lot lately to keep momentum going, and if Cesaro beats him for the Intercontinental title, well, then that just makes Big E look even more awkward. Somebody like Bad News Barrett, he can have a feud with Big E for a month or two, and it's a step up from what he was doing before. So you have somebody like Dolph Ziggler lose to Wade Barrett here, and eventually they can have a feud down the line, because this definitely was the match of the night. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if Bad News Barrett comes out of this the Intercontinental Champion. Big E gets just pushed aside a little bit, because he's been pushed aside for quite a while now. Cesaro, he'll have his time. And I don't think that he's going to have to go through the Intercontinental title to get it.
Hmm. All right, guys. With that, we have hit the last segment to talk about on tonight's show. And it's time to do our final bit. We like to do the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the ugly, where we go around to each member of the panel and ask them what the best part of the show was, what the worst part of the show was, and what the most infuriating part of the show was. So let's go around here and get each one of them. Let's start off with Mr. Miguel Leon. What was the good, the bad, and the ugly of tonight?
I'm gonna actually throw out something I noticed in the crowd for my good. Did you notice somebody holding a replica of John Cena's U.S. belt when the Shield came out on the way to the ring?
No.
Yeah, I know. I was sitting there. Some guy, like, as they were like doing the close ups on the Shield, just stuck the belt right in front of the camera, and I'm like, oh my god, that's John Cena's old U.S. belt. It was the old spinner one that just had the big U.S. emblem on it. I kind of marked out for that. Bad, I'd probably have to say, honestly, the Rusev matchup, just because I'm just not digging the guy at all. And ugly, the furthering of a storyline on Twitter. It's just so Bush League. It really, I expect better from a company like WWE. Like I said, that's TNA levels of nonsense right there, and that really irritated me. But other than that, yeah, like I said, it was a pretty uneventful show. So aside from the belt thing, I really can't say too much about tonight.
Wago? Wago?
Eh.
Oh, sorry, my mic did not unmute. as far as the good goes, it was the tribute to Ultimate Warrior. The bad goes is that we have Miguel mooing me. And the ugly, I'm probably going to have to go with Rusev's match.
All right, Tony.
The good, we have a tournament for the Intercontinental title. Makes it seem like it's worth a damn. The bad, that little kid's acting. Fuck you, little kid. And the ugly, that shit that Cena photoshopped.
Oh, goodness gracious, yes.
I'm trying to forget that, actually. That's why I didn't put it as my ugly.
All right, well, for me, I am saying the good tonight. I thought that little segment we had backstage where Stephanie McMahon was reading the riot act to Kane, I actually really liked that. I thought Stephanie was on point there, and I thought it was awesome seeing the monster brought back out of Kane. So I'm excited for that. The bad, I am going to give that to the Damian Sandow segment. As much as I like Sandow and I want him to step up, this was not a way to do it. So poor Sandow. The ugly, I'm going to give to the whole situation between Fandango and Layla 2, or just the pairing of them in general. And neither of them, I think, are ugly, but together, they are. There's that. And with that, folks, we have one last bit of business to take care of before we wish you all good night. We're going to let each one of the panels here tell you about what's good in their world and what they want to plug to y'all before we go. So first off, Mr. Miguel, what's good in your world?
Well, I know tomorrow night we have the big Ultimate Warrior tribute show at 8 o'clock that I'm going to be a part of. So because of that, I've had to make some scheduling changes with Retro Unlim. So Wednesday night this week at 8 o'clock is the Untitled Movie Show. We're actually going to be talking about wrestling movies, wrestlers in movies, movies about wrestlers, things like that. Kind of a tribute of sorts to the WrestleMania season that just came out. And you know, we had planned this out before the Ultimate Warrior death, but we might try to kind of tie it in with that as well. But yeah, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, Retro on Limb, the Untitled Movie Show. We're going to be talking wrestling movies.
Mr. Juego?
All right, you can tune into Mega Powers Radio April 27th, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to check out Addicted to Anime. We're going to be doing a whole episode on Pokemon. We're going to be discussing the anime, the movies, the games, pretty much just people discussing their memories of it and having a good time. You can also check out facebook.com/addictedanimefans. We've got a tournament going on right now of who everyone's favorite anime character is. And check it out on Tumblr at addictedanimefans.tumblr.com.
Yeah, Mr. Mango.
SmarkOutMoment.com is the wrestling website that I run. Smack Talk you can find on YouTube.com/SmarkOutMoment. Everything else under A Mango Tree and Bleacher Report and Fanboys Anonymous and blah, blah, blah. I'm sure that you know all the links by now. And just look around SmarkOutMoment. You'll find tons of stuff where you can go elsewhere.
Stuff. You find stuff.
Stuff.
More like stuff.
Some of that good stuff.
All right, folks, hope you enjoyed the show tonight. As you've heard mentioned many times, tomorrow night, although I guess it actually would be tonight, April 15th here on Mega Powers Radio at 8 p.m., we will be having our tribute to the Ultimate Warrior. We'll be recalling all of our favorite Warrior memories, impersonating all of our favorite Warriorisms, and talking about 5 handpicked matches from the Warrior's career to talk about throughout that night. And as, like this show, all our other shows too, it'll be open for you to call in, get your voice about it, give your favorite Warrior memories. So be sure to be there for that. And, of course, be here every single Monday night after the conclusion of Raw, where we gather to talk about what went down that night. This is the most interactive post-Raw experience where you can get your voice involved in many, many ways. We have the phone lines. We have the chat room. Even though not too many took advantage of that tonight. Where the hell are you people? It's WrestleMania season. Y'all disappeared right afterwards. What the crap? Hopefully we'll see y'all next week. So please keep tuning in. But if you can't join us here on Monday, remember you can always check this show out on lots of archived avenues. First off, it's on SmarkOutMoment.com. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're on YouTube. Plenty of places to find the show if you can't join us for the live version. And so with that, folks, we thank y'all for listening. I'm Mike Payton for Tony Mango, for Stephen Juego, and for Miguel Leon. This has been the NPR Raw Post Show here at Mega Powers Radio, and we'll see y'all next week.